You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
Last December, the world's nations met in Copenhagen to forge an agreement on what to do about climate change. The summit ended in failure. No binding emissions targets were agreed to, and the United States, along with other Western countries, including Canada, subverted the UN process by signing on to what was essentially a backroom side deal. In response to this subversion, social movements worldwide have been working hard to retake the agenda. In April, in Cochabamba, Brazil, Bolivia hosted the World People's Conference on Climate Change and the Rights of Mother Earth. This resulted in a multifaceted people's agreement which called for fundamental changes in the way nations deal with climate and environmental issues. Many of the Cochabamba proposals have now been included in negotiating documents leading up to the next major climate summit in Cancun, Mexico. For an update on preparations for that summit, Red Eye Collective member Manuel Schulte spoke with the Council of Canadians Energy and Climate Justice campaigner Andrea Harden. Here now is that interview.
Now, you attended the People's Conference for the Rights of Mother Earth in Bolivia last April. What were the major things you took out of that summit?
Yes, I did attend, and it was quite an incredible experience. That conference brought together over 35,000 people, many from throughout Bolivia and South America, but also from North America and other parts of the world, including Europe and Asia. And that whole conference was a really bottom-up process, and it was quite different from the experience in Copenhagen, where I was also present, in which we saw the UN negotiating process increasingly close to civil society and people's accreditation being pulled and the type of backroom dealing that you described earlier. Well, this Cochabamba process had a number of working groups on different topics such as carbon markets or adaptation, mitigation, Mother Earth rights. These were some of the focuses. Working groups met over the course of a couple of days, produced conclusions which then went forward and got merged into the very people agreement, the people's agreement that you mentioned. So it was very much a bottom-up process. And there was also an interaction with governments willing to listen to that bottom-up process. So you had the Bolivian government who was present on the final day, as well as heads of state or negotiators associated with a number of governments, including Ecuador and Venezuela, amongst others. So in terms of what came from that conference, I think there was a real building of a movement for climate justice, saying, you know, what came out of Copenhagen, this Copenhagen Accord, or Discord, as some people like to refer to it, is unacceptable. And in the text of those conclusions in the People's Agreement are the roots of what I think are some real solutions to the climate crisis, like recognizing what's needed in terms of climate science to take us off the track, the destructive track we're on, but also some important things like what are false solutions to climate crisis. So there's a real rejection of carbon market mechanisms such as carbon offsets as a way. Carbon offsets are, of course, when credits are generated, and these credits generated from projects that are meant to reduce emissions are used by Western or Global North countries to meet their emission reduction targets, in essence, are a loophole for reducing domestic emissions in Global North. That was entirely rejected in the Cochabamba process. I think the biggest thing coming out of Cochabamba is the sense of the movement coming out of that has some very clear conclusions that are now in the negotiating text, and are because of the efforts of the Bolivian government, amongst others, and are moving towards Cancun.
In terms of the organizing in Canada now, what from the experiences in Bolivia have you sort of incorporated now into organizing movements in Canada in preparation for Cancun?
Well, one of the things the Council of Canadians is working on is helping to organize and coordinate people's assemblies on climate justice during the Cancun negotiations, November 29th to December 10th, we were joined with the Indigenous Environmental Network, Kairos, and the Canadian Youth Climate Coalition in issuing a call to action for holding these assemblies, which are essentially about engaging in a dialogue on a community level. What is climate justice? What does it mean globally? What does it mean locally? And are there areas that emerge from that discussion that can guide local actions that are in tune with climate justice principles, which in essence are ensuring that our country is meeting our portion of climate debt owed to the global south, ensuring that we're resisting false solutions like carbon offsets, and ensuring that we are promoting real solutions like local sustainable agriculture or buy local programs or public and community ownership of renewable energy, because of course there's many positive things that we can and should be and are doing that are in tune with human rights and equity and justice, but also reducing emissions and addressing the climate crisis. So these assemblies is one project that we're working on to really start engaging in a dialogue in Canada, because I think in Canada what we really need to do is start with having that dialogue. What is climate justice? What does it mean? Because many people, I think, are aware of the problems with the climate crisis and are aware of the needs to reduce emissions, but I think what we need to have more discussion on is what needs to happen to actually do that in an equitable way. Do we need to just, simply stop or reduce our reliance on fossil fuels, or do we actually need to look at what are the root causes of the climate crisis? Is overconsumption, overproduction, and inequitable global trade a driving force of the climate crisis? And if it is, then what can we start thinking about in terms of guiding our actions that is a response to that? So, for example, I mentioned local sustainable agriculture or buy local procurement requirements on a municipal level, or at the Transition Town movement. I think those are all examples of responses to the climate crisis that are in tune with that that analysis of climate justice.
And of course, the organizing efforts here are part of a much larger global movement. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on globally?
Absolutely. There's a lot of mobilization happening globally. So in terms of Cancun and the negotiations, there is going to be a mobilization that'll begin with caravans entering Mexico City on the 30th, and what promises to be quite a large demonstration involving social movements like Via Campesina, which is a peasant and agricultural social movement that has branches all over the world, as well as labor unions in Mexico and parts of South America are taking part of that, and a lot of environmental organizations as well. And then there's going to be caravans going through different communities on their way to Cancun, looking at stopping in some of these communities and looking at some of the impacts that different industries are having on them that relate to the climate crisis. And then getting into Cancun by the 3rd. In Cancun, there's going to be a number of alternative forums happening, hosting things, workshops and roundtables. And there's going to be demonstrations in the street. There'll be a lot of activity. And you'll see organizations, like I mentioned, Via Campesina, labor unions. There'll be environmental organizations, social justice organizations. Certainly we'll be there and we'll be part of that process. Simultaneously, there's also going to be mobilization on the inside where the official negotiations are happening. So there's a number of organizations that seek accreditation, which allows them to be observers of the discussions that are happening in terms of the official negotiations and participate in side events. And there's a number of well-known environmental organizations, faith-based and social justice organizations that will be engaging in that. For ourselves at the Council of Canadians, we have a number of particular goals heading into Cancun. We'll be participating in the caravans, as well as hosting a book launch on the rights of Mother Earth. And we'll also be participating in a roundtable on holding referendums and popular consultas on climate change. This was one of the items coming out of the Cochabamba process, as well as looking towards having a discussion with other movement representatives on calling for leaving it in the ground in the Arctic, because there's an increasing push to exploit offshore oil in the Arctic, as well as being there to call our government to account, because of course our government has been a strong proponent of the Copenhagen Accord, which is no surprise given our government's very poor emission reduction target, as well as its staunch backing of the ongoing development of the tar sands, a clear climate disaster in the making.
And yeah, you mentioned the government's response. How have governments responded to the Cochabamba proposals have made it into the negotiating texts?
Well, first of all, to be clear, the Cochabamba proposals are still in the negotiating text moving forward. Now they're bracketed, which means they're in the text alongside many other proposals. So what happens in terms of the official negotiation process is there's a back and forth and a process whereby they attempt to remove certain brackets and replace them with a smaller text that is meant to lead to an agreement. So certainly there's a division over responsibilities for reducing emissions and responsibilities for climate financing for the global south, primarily between Western or Global North countries and Global South countries. And the Bolivian proposals from the People's Agreement falls within that division moving forward. So how that plays out is definitely something to watch in Cancun. And I think the big thing moving forward in Cancun, from my understanding, is going to be the question of climate financing. That appears to be a big focus for Cancun. So there's proposals under the Copenhagen Accord moving forward for short-term financing or quick start financing, and then reaching a certain amount by 2020, an amount that's much less than what was called for in the People's Agreement or by many Global South countries. But that's one of the proposals in the text, and what we're going to see is a real back and forth about the amount of money, but also how that money is met. Is it going to come out of existing aid budgets? Is it going to be dependent on carbon markets? Is the World Bank going to be in control of it, or is it going to be run under the UNFCCC? That's going to be a big battleground in Cancun.
Mm-hmm. And if people want to get involved in some of the people's assemblies, what should they do?
I'd encourage people to visit our website. It's canadians.org, and you'll find on that website a section on people's assemblies. It's /assemblies. We've got our call to action available on the website, some background information, and a contact point for being in touch to find out whether there's an assembly happening in your community that you can plug into and help organize and participate in, or some information on how to start an assembly in your community.
And that was Red Eye Collective member Manuel Schulte speaking with Andrea Harden. She is the Energy and Climate Justice Campaigner for the Council of Canadians. They were talking about the UN Climate Summit in Cancun, Mexico, which begins at the end of November. You can find out more about the People's Assemblies discussed in the interview at the Council of Canadians website. That would be canadians.org/assemblies.